At Baptist Health South Florida, it's our mission to care for you when you're injured or sick and help you stay healthy and fit. Welcome to the Baptist Health Talk podcast, where our respected experts bring you timely, practical health and wellness information to improve your family's quality of life. In this week's edition of Baptist Health Talk, we've all heard about the dangers of vaping, yet many are not heeding the warnings. What are e-cigarettes really doing to lungs? The real concerns all parents should hear.
Hello, folks. This is Dr. Jonathan Fialco, and welcome, hopefully back to, for some of you, to the Baptist Health Talk podcast. I'm a practicing preventive cardiologist and chief of cardiology at Miami Cardiac and Vascular Institute at Baptist Health South Florida. As a practicing physician for almost 30 years, I often see people who are confused about things they're told or things they hear that can be related to their health. I'll say this is not just my patients. It's actually true. Family and friends. What's good for us one week may be bad for us the next. We can eat something that might be totally fine, but we're led to be fearful of its effects. The opposite is true as well. We sometimes hear about something that has magical benefits, and by eating this, we'll live forever despite significant lifestyle improvements that we could benefit from. Our goal with this podcast is to speak with experts in the Baptist Health South Florida system and review the kinds of questions that I and others have, and we hope to provide some sense of clarity for our listeners. If you have any thoughts about this podcast, and we hope they will be positive, please feel free to leave a message at baptisthealthtalk@baptisthealth.net. Any requests for future topics will be appreciated as well. Our topic today is vaping. This is a relatively new offering to our population, and there remains a lot of confusion about it. We're told it's less damaging than smoking, but it's still dangerous. It remains highly addictive, which some don't really associate as dangerous. And so in addition to questions as to what is vaping, we're going to ask what its risk to our children and what its risk is to ourselves. Vaping or e-cigarettes use is a particularly popular item among young people, and it's a dangerous trend with real health issues. In 2017 alone, for example, more than $8.6 billion was spent on the aggressive marketing. That's about $1 million an hour, folks. E-cigarettes are now the most common form of tobacco used by kids and teens. In 2018, the number of high school students vaping doubled compared to its previous year. Many young people say it's the flavors that make them try the e-cigarettes. And with this rapidly increasing and dangerous trend, information remains our best weapon to combat it. And that leads to my introduction to our guest, Dr. Michael Hernandez. Dr. Hernandez is a board-certified practicing pulmonologist and a member of the Baptist Health South Florida medical staff. Dr. Hernandez has an interest in and has been a valuable colleague in our population and community health endeavors around our greater Baptist Health South Florida community. He's also an associate professor at the FIU School of Medicine. Dr. Hernandez, welcome. Thanks for taking the time to help clarify vaping and educate our listeners.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. So, Mike, lots of terms get thrown around: vaping, e-cigarettes, nicotine delivery systems. Let's unpack some of this. What is vaping? How is it different from smoking? Give us a little introduction about what vaping is.
Okay, so vaping is a it's basically a nicotine or some sort of substance, whatever you want to put in there. Whether it be nicotine, which is what we'll talk about today, people can place THC, CBD oil. Some people even place butane hash.
That does not sound good.
Does not sound good. The e-cigarette or the vape pen is it's essentially a lithium ion battery. Which heats up a coiling within the device, and usually what's heated up is an oil or some sort of liquid. The liquid is typically a water combined with propylene glycol plus your substance. There's organic acids in there as well. And when it's heated up, when you press the button and it heats up, it gives you a puff of this vapor that you inhale. The reason why I believe it's become attractive is because it's become marketed as cleaner.
Yeah. Marketed is the key word.
Safer. And as a result of that, it's essentially taken off.
So explain to the listeners as a comparator, smoking. Smoking is combustible products. It's tars and you know, well, let me answer. What's the difference between, for example, smoking and vaping?
Right. So what we use is we'll say combustible versus non-combustible. So combustible is the cigarettes that you've come to know, and you know, the use of cigarettes peaked in the 50s. And it's, you know, we've done a really good job with education and public health, and the rate of smoking has never been lower. It just keeps on going down. But on the flip side, I would say since the advent of e-cigarettes, specifically in 2015, when the Juul came out, the use, especially amongst adolescents and people, the teenagers and people in their early 20s, has completely exploded.
Yeah. So the ease of use, the concept that it's cleaner, the flavors, which are, yes, enticing, that marketing ability seems to be really making our young people thinking, right, it's something fun, yeah, and it's not addicting. So, yeah, let's talk about the addiction component then, specifically, right, nicotine. There is nicotine in these products, correct?
Yeah. So when they initially came out, what they were using was basically free-based nicotine oil, and it was extremely caustic, extremely harsh, extremely difficult and irritating to the eyes, to the mouth, and the first prototypes, you know, they weren't very popular. Okay, people just couldn't tolerate them, and so what they would do, what they engineered was, each puff was very, very little nicotine. So it wasn't really mimicking the effects of combustible cigarettes. In 2015, the reason we're probably having this discussion right now is, actually a little bit before that, but 2015, the Juul came to the market. This started off as a master's thesis in product design in Stanford, two guys from Stanford. And it was basically all product design. So if you look at a Juul, it's sleek. It kind of looks like a USB port.
Sure.
It's everything that you think. The packaging is nice. It's kind of like, it looks like an iPhone when, yeah, you look at it.
It looks like you want one.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It lights up. A cool light comes on. And then they added flavors. They added banana split, you know, coconut ice cream, brownie, this and the other thing. And then in 2016.
Which also gives the connotation that it's safe.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, fun.
It tastes good. It's cool. Right. Yeah, it tastes cool. And so in 2016, they started this mass marketing campaign. And they basically took the playbook of, you know, the big tobacco companies. They took, you know, movie stars, ads with models on the beach, super cool, designer suits, kind of like the one you're wearing right now. But
they haven't asked me to be in the,
yeah,
ads yet.
No. But, you know, everything was cool. It was the same exact playbook, magazines and so on and so forth. And it essentially took off. And that, you know, that's basically where we're at right now.
So they created a cool device for a cool way to bring in chemicals and nicotine into your system,
right,
in a way that's not as harsh as it otherwise would be, which is, yeah, the beauty of science, right?
Right, right, right. And so what you see is, I mean, if you look at people, if you ask these kids, hey, do you smoke cigarettes? Like, what? How dare you? How dare you even say that? It's gross. It's disgusting. Oh, do you vape? Oh, of course. Yeah, everybody vapes, you know. So if you look at people who vape, 3% of adults vape, okay? If you look at adolescents who, and young teenagers who vape, it's about 20%, okay?
And increasing.
So, and increasing, and increasing by the day.
So that speaks to also one point vaping, not one point, it's been marketed as a way to get rid of cigarettes. You're smoking, right. It's a way to get rid of the addiction, vape. And that really hasn't been borne out with any kind of real scientific data.
There's some data for cessation. The initial data just said that it curtails use a lot. So you would vape, and if you vaped, you would smoke less. You wouldn't completely eliminate it. Actually last year, on Valentine's Day, the New England Journal of Medicine released a UK study, that showed, that there was improvement in terms of cessation. At 1 year, it was 18% cessation versus nicotine replacement therapy, which was 9%. In the UK, as you know, there's, you know, it's nationalized healthcare. They have a public healthcare system, and what they've done is they've dispensed e-cigarettes. Again, this is to adults. These are not to adolescents. They're not allowed to market to adolescents. And in addition to that, by eliminating the marketing, they've also controlled the amount of nicotine. And what they found, there's some success.
So is the nicotine content of the e-cigarette well, let me phrase that. What would be the equivalent in terms of number of cigarettes from using a pod for an e-cigarette? Is there any?
So for Juul, which is, you know, which is by far and away the dominant player, one pod is the equivalent of one pack of cigarettes.
So is it that you're vaping, so you're doing it less, but the nicotine intake may be similar than smoking, or it's really is less?
It's going to be the same, and it's going to hit you the same, because when they created the device, what they realized was, okay, look, this chemical that these people are dispensing, the reason it's not taking effect is because it's not hitting you like a real cigarette. So what they did was they did chemistry. And they combined the nicotine with a nicotinic, they made it a salt, a nicotine salt, and they combined it with benzoic acid, and it was way less harsh, very smooth. You didn't even feel it. The only thing you felt was the nicotine going into your system and the taste. Whatever the taste was, they'd put flavoring in it, and so you just feel a little flavoring. You taste the flavoring, and it's just a nice smooth vapor with the equivalent of one puff. Of you know, an actual drag of
coconut cake and
of coconut cake, yeah, strawberry shortcake, yeah.
So we've used the term nicotine a couple of times, and I think again, smoking, tars, and combustible products, but nicotine is available in both e-cigarettes and smoking. Can you speak a little bit about the negative consequences of nicotine? This could take a couple hours, so we'll keep it kind of
right,
because it's such a bad substance,
right?
And it's the addicting substance,
right? So nicotine is, you know, it's the addicting substance. It nicotine binds into an area of the brain called the nucleus accumbens. That's the pleasure-seeking part of the brain. When it binds, you get this release of dopamine, some serotonin, but mainly dopamine. And it causes this very short acting feeling of wellness and euphoria. But it also can cause, you know, elevated blood pressure. It increases your diastolic blood pressure. It can lead to atherosclerosis. And so it has negative consequences as well. In addition to that, it's just very addictive. So it's just hard to wean off of.
Yeah. I think, you know, we always talk about lung cancer risk, which of course is extremely important with cigarette smoking. But nicotine does have significant cardiovascular negative properties, and yes. I think that sometimes gets lost. So what about marijuana? I know that vaping is also a delivery system for, as you said, THE, which is the active component of marijuana. Is it just as, I'll argue, dangerous as nicotine-containing products? I know it is being used for these purposes. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Okay, so that's something that's really exploded in the last, I would say, the last year and a half. And that's something that's I wouldn't call it a different problem, but it's a different presentation for sure. And there's a lot of layers to it. Marijuana containing products, typically they are they're oils. There's, you know, marijuana, just like in Florida, which is not legal for recreational purposes, it's only legal in a select number of states, and as a result of that, there's a black market for it, and as a result, people are getting it from the black market. They're getting it from the internet. Many of these oils have impurities. They have things that are leading to this presentation of acute lung injury. And so what we were seeing is in 2019, people were presenting, very young people were presenting with this acute respiratory failure type syndrome of unknown origin. They would present with four quadrant infiltrates. They look like pneumonia. They smell like pneumonia. They have all of them have elevated white blood cell counts. They have neutrophilia. They have fever, chills, cough, shortness of breath. It really came to a head. I would say the FDA and all these individual states started really noticing this, I would say in the fall, of this past year, late summer. The biggest database that came out of the New England Journal of Medicine in September was from Illinois and Wisconsin. And in those states, marijuana is not legal. And what was happening was they were seeing very young people presenting to the hospital, and they would look retrospectively on these people who these patients who had come in with respiratory failure of unknown origin, and they would rule them out for infection. And what was interesting about it is these patients, when you looked at their pathology, when they would have surgical lung biopsies, all the pathology was a little bit different. Some of these patients had diffuse alveolar damage, or what looks like adult respiratory distress syndrome. Some of them had alveolar hemorrhage. Some of them had organizing pneumonia.
So these findings in these very sick people you see in other conditions, but not really all at the same time. This is a new presentation.
And these people were kids. Yeah. The median age was like 19.
And there were deaths.
Yeah. There was about, in this particular study, there was 18 deaths. A third of them, one third got intubated. Okay, so they were so sick, they were in the unit and put on a ventilator, a third.
And it subsequently was from the marijuana delivery specifically.
Yeah. It was 86% of them when they looked back. No, excuse me, 83% of them were THC related, vape related acute lung injury. 17% of them were strictly nicotine. But the theory is, now I can't, you know, this is just a theory, is that those 17%, they were lying, okay? Yeah. They were using nicotine, THC, but nicotine. They were also using THC.
So again, we're talking about a dangerous delivery system with actual deaths. So appreciate that. And so, you know, folks, we've seen how vaping, the use of e-cigarettes, it's a different means of getting, you know, addictive and dangerous substances into your brain and your hearts and your bodies. Nicotine being the main component, but other things as well with these chemicals that we're bringing into our system. Any final comments, Mike? I mean, obviously it's don't do it, but you know, kids, pregnant women, specific populations where you really think that we should be really vigilant to stay away from it.
Well, certainly in regards to the nicotine containing e-cigarettes, the easiest thing is just not to start, right? So if you start, it's extremely difficult to get off. These are very young people. The mind is not fully formed. There is some plasticity there. We know that the earlier you start, the more likely you are to be addicted and the more likely you are to try combustible cigarettes.
Right. It can be an entry.
It's an entry that's been proven. As far as the marijuana, which has, you know, has taken the lives of these 19-year-old, you know, people, 20-year-old people, young people, what I would say is, you know, do not use anything from the black market. Do not smoke anything from the black market that you don't know that's not been regulated.
I think that's good advice.
Don't take anything from the black market. Don't ingest. Right. I will caution people and say there might be a place in the hands of responsible adults who have a terrible addiction to combustible cigarettes, that are your patients that have coronary arteries, and they say, listen, I've tried Chantix, I've tried Wellbutrin, I've tried all these drugs, I've had two heart attacks, I can't stop smoking. There may be a place, there may be a role for electronic cigarettes. We cannot demonize it completely.
That's well said. So not throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
I mean, I can't assure, there's no long-term data. We know that, you know, there's a heating element, there's metals that they find in your lungs, and is there going to be long-term data? There's lead.
So it's not that it's great, but it might be better than something we know is really bad.
Right. I can tell it, as far as impurities are concerned, there's significantly less impurities. So there may be a role for it in the hands of adults who are addicted and who have comorbidities or risk factors, because while not ideal, it's less bad. Yeah. Okay. So it's just, you know.
So that's actually great information for physicians and providers to keep in mind for that population. That's all great information and great advice. So thank you, Dr. Hernandez. You lent your time and expertise to this podcast. You hopefully helped clarify some misperceptions.
That's it.
Identified markings. It's meant to be brief, man. We want people to
go back
to their work. You know. But thanks again. You're continue to be an important part of our Baptist Health team, and thank you for your particular interest, not just the pulmonary disorders, but educating patients, the community, lots of ways to lead healthy lifestyles. And thank you to our listeners. We'll continue to bring you topics and experts to discuss things of particular interest and often confusing items. Please email us at baptisthealthtalk@baptisthealth.net with any thoughts or requests of future topics, and hope to speak to you all soon.
Find additional valuable health and wellness information on our resource blog at baptisthealth.net/news. And be sure to interact with us on our social media channels for live and upcoming events. This podcast is brought to you by Baptist Health South Florida, healthcare that cares.